Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're on the line with Peter Winkelstein of the Jacobs School of Medicine. As Peter, at the time that you and I are talking, it's Wednesday, November 25th, and Governor Cuomo had just announced that they're developing a winter plan. We don't know all too many details about it, but you know, the big picture here is that there's no upgrades into any of the cluster zones for Erie County and Western New York. And as we approach this holiday season, of course, there's going to be a lot of talks about rising coronavirus numbers and what it's going to mean moving forward. And I'm just curious to see, with the University at Buffalo, how are you guys projecting it to look this winter season as we approach the holidays here?
Well, as the governor has said, and as our models have been saying for a long time, it very much depends on how the community, how we all respond to the COVID spike. We can clearly affect how the virus spreads through the community, how it's transmitted from person to person, and we can affect it in all the ways that I'm sure all your listeners are now very familiar with, which is face mask wearing, very, very important, physical distancing, keeping your distance, and keeping the group sizes extremely small. Those really common sense measures have a tremendous, profound effect on how this virus is transmitted from person to person and throughout the community. So what happens, and by that I mean how many people get COVID, is going to depend very much on our behavior. Let me add a comment on this one. When we look at our models, it's very clear that there is a sudden increase in the transmission of the virus, probably around middle of October or towards the end of October. And that's what's led to this big spike in the number of cases that are of people that are in the hospital, which is really worrisome. And that happened apparently, as the models seem to say, very suddenly at the end of October, near the end of October. And there's no, I don't think that that represents a sudden change in our behavior or attitudes towards face masks and those kinds of things. My guess is that that represents the time that we all moved indoors, that the weather got cold and we started moving indoors. And so we know for sure that indoors is much more dangerous than outdoors. And I think that that move indoors is what has caused this big spike. So in some sense, that's not our fault that we're faced with this spike. It's not something that we did wrong. If the weather got cold, we moved indoors. Now it's up to us to respond to that well and to make sure that we do all the right things to keep this under control and to keep the spike in hospitalization cases from going crazy and from overwhelming our hospital systems, which would be a disaster, of course.
So what is the UB modeling showing now that, you know, you had mentioned that now that everyone's indoors, you're seeing the increase. What's the expectation now as we get into December here? Is the curve going upwards? Is it more steep now, or do you think it's going to level off? I know a lot of it is dependent on how we respond to it. But, you know, if we continue with the current, you know, attitude that we have with coronavirus, as broad as a concept as that is, what is the UB model showing? Is it showing a exponential rise? How would you characterize it these next few weeks?
So what it's showing is that it's showing a couple of things that I think might be of interest. One is that if we go back into a full lockdown like we did in April, which is, of course, very difficult on everybody, but if we did that, the model shows it will work again. In other words, if we go to a full lockdown, we can put a lid on this spike and keep it from getting out of control. Now, nobody really wants to have to go all the way to a full lockdown, but that tool is still available to us if we need it. If we do less than a full lockdown, a partial lockdown, that may work. It depends on how good a lockdown it is. And there's no magic here. The more you lock down, the more careful you are, the quicker you reach a peak and the lower that peak is. What's hard to say is this orange zone designation, which is what we have today, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, is this orange zone designation enough? Is it enough to get the curve to peak out and start coming down? And we're not going to know the answer to that for another week or two. Because of the nature of the way the virus works, if you put a lockdown in place today, you really don't see the effect of it for a week or two. Because, of course, everybody who's already infected today is already infected. What you're doing is you're reducing the infections going forward. And then that takes a little while to show up, both in the testing positivity rate and then ultimately in the hospital census and the number of people that are in the hospital. So we did a lockdown to orange on the 20th, I believe, was when the governor put us in orange here. And so it's going to be, we're not going to know how well that's working till probably sometime next week.
Is it, I guess when it comes to the modeling at the University at Buffalo, the governor today said that he's going to wait until maybe a week after Thanksgiving just to see how the numbers are here locally, and decide at that point whether or not we move into a red zone or not. Do you think that then, because the governor, you know, is going to wait to decide, that's going to impact the way that you guys model how it moves forward? And I guess, you know, for our listeners to get an idea of what you guys do too, how often are you updating these models?
We update the models. We update the models approximately weekly. The reason for that is that it takes a week or so, as I said, to see the effects of any changes. And so we need that much data before we can kind of look back and say the changes are working or not working. The data moves around a little bit. You have to be very cautious at looking at what's exactly today's data. There's a lot of noise in that. We tend to look at things over at least a 7-day average. So I think the governor is probably waiting another week to find out if the orange zone designation had an effect. And I think that's an appropriate timeline. As I said, a week or two after you make a change is the earliest you're going to see whether it had an effect. And by next week, we'll be about 2 weeks out of the orange zone designation. So that timeline makes sense to me. Now, of course, the wild card in all this is tomorrow, is Thursday, Thanksgiving, is what's going to happen tomorrow. Because if people are not careful tomorrow, then we will see a spike in cases coming a week or two later. And so that one is very difficult to predict. That's on us. That's our behavior. No model can predict that. We have to be smart about what we are all doing on Thanksgiving. I mentioned just before we started this interview, I mentioned normally we host a Thanksgiving of 20 or 30 people, extended family kinds of stuff. This year, it's just the four of us that are in our house, just the immediate household of four. It's difficult. It's emotionally difficult, but it's absolutely the right thing to do because I want to be able to see those 20 or 30 people. I want to be able to see my family next year. I don't want anything to happen to them this year. So it's going to be tough for us, but we're going to do that. And I think that I hope that the community understands that we'll take precautions and took precautions on Thanksgiving.
How can people find the latest model with the University of Buffalo? It comes out about once a week that you had mentioned. Where can people find it?
We give that model to and show that model pretty much weekly to the Department of Health and to other hospital leaders, and then leave it to them to distribute from there based on how they see fit. So I think that Dr. Burstein and the Erie County Department of Health are the ones that have our most recent modeling.
Okay. And Dr. Winkelstein, as we wrap up this interview, would love to just get any final thoughts that you have, not just with Thanksgiving, of course, being on Thursday, but also Christmas time. Everyone's going to want to do holiday shopping this year. What are you telling them other than, you know, wear a mask, socially distance? What kind of advice you got for people?
We're going to have to tough out this winter. It's just going to be a hard winter. And I think the Christmas shopping and the Christmas time and the holiday time, Hanukkah and other celebrations, New Year's, we're going to have to be cautious in the same way we're being cautious about Thanksgiving, which I know is disappointing. This is going to be a very hard holiday season and a tough winter. But if we can tough this winter out, I think we've got light at the end of the tunnel. I think this wave is our last wave. It's the worst wave for sure, but it's the last one. I think by the time we get through this winter and into next spring, we're going to be in much better shape. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto
Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.